All right, welcome back to a special episode of Frog Fever, a Big 12 basketball podcast brought to you by KillerFrogs.com. My name is Davis Wilson. I'm with Nick Giramani, as always. We have a special guest for this women's basketball edition. Tori Couch is joining us again. She's been on a couple of times, but we're going to have her back on before the Big 12 tournament begins on Friday. Tori, thanks for coming back on. How are you doing?
I'm good. Thank you guys for having me on. Excited to talk a little women's basketball.
Yeah, we're really excited to have you back on. Last time we talked to you, things were a little bit weird. They had lost, I can't remember how many in a row, and then the forfeits came because the team was not healthy enough. Since then, fill us in what has happened with this team and where they are now.
Yeah, there's been a lot that's happened since then. Like you said, kind of where we left off, if you will, was the forfeits. They added four walk-ons, one of whom was familiar to Frog fans who follow volleyball, Sarah Sylvester, and then three others who were just students at TCU who joined. And those walk-ons, from what I can gather from interviews and just watching the team, have been really important. They haven't played a lot except here and there at the end of games where it's clear they're not going to win or something like that. I believe they got in at the end of the Texas Tech game at home in a win. So that was really, I think, really neat for them. But they've just been able to kind of push the girls on this team a little bit. One of the girls mentioned, you know, they push in the weight room because they have so much energy and they're ready to go. So I think they've been a big positive for this team, kind of behind the scenes. So they added those four players. They beat UCF. And then they, believe, lost five in a row. And they were competitive in those games. There was really only one game against West Virginia where they didn't really have a chance. Most of those games, you started to see the depth in the fourth quarter. Just they didn't have a lot of depth, and that kind of wore them down. And then Madison Connor rejoined after those five games. And TCU started to win a couple games, started on a roll. Then Sedona Prince, she came back 3 games ago. And that's where you really started to see things kind of turn a little bit of a corner. They still have a lot of work to do getting used to having both Sedona and Madison back. They're not going to get Jaden Owens back. So this team is not going to look the same as it did at the beginning of the season ever, just because unfortunately Jaden's out for the rest of the season. But I think fans who watched at the beginning of the season and are watching now are going to see a few more similarities between this team and the team at the beginning of the season versus what they saw in the middle.
Yeah, obviously, you know, the roller coaster ride, and they did struggle during that time. But now that Sedona and Madison Connor are back, are we seeing, like, some positives being taken from that situation where people were able to step up, like your Emma Nopu or your Una Jovanovic? Guys or girls that didn't have these big roles are now more experienced than they would have been in healthy and are even more valuable pieces to this team at this point.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think that's been kind of a big talking point in post games for Coach Mark Campbell and even some of the players. When you talk to them, you can kind of pick out certain things that each one has gotten better at. You know, you mentioned Agnes. She has always just been such an incredible rebounder, just kind of, as Coach Campbell calls her, the backbone of this team. And I think she's taken on a bigger leadership role with Madison and Sedona out. Una has become a much more confident point guard. Her assist to turnover ratio was like 2.5 to 1 at one point during this stretch. So she's gotten a lot more confidence. And just overall, those girls who were, I think he really had a 6, sort of 7 woman rotation during that time. And so all 7 have gotten a lot more confident. They've been in situations they wouldn't have been in otherwise. And I think that's really going to benefit this team going into the tournament.
Yeah, so heading into the tournament, they play on Friday. They play against Oklahoma State, and it's that 8-9 matchup in the conference. I'm looking at it now. Last time they played Oklahoma State, it doesn't look like Sedona Prince was healthy. They lost that game by 8 points in Fort Worth. What do you think about this matchup? What chances do you give TCU against the Cowboys?
Yeah, I like TCU's chances in this matchup. Like you said, Sedona was not available for the first matchup in Fort Worth. That would have been the first game she was out with that finger injury. So you could tell in that game they didn't quite have an offensive rhythm at any point in that game because they were so used to running the pick and roll with her and she was gone. So you saw a lot of just offensive inconsistency. They lost the rebounding battle, and they didn't score a field goal pretty much the whole entire fourth quarter. Those are things that I think you won't necessarily see this time because you have those pieces of Madison Sedona back in place and everybody's getting used to playing together again. Now Oklahoma State, they've experienced some injuries as well. They went 5-10 since that game against TCU, so they're not necessarily playing great or having the season that I think they were expecting either. So they're battling some injuries as well. So I do give TCU a pretty good chance in this game. It's not going to be easy. They've got a center, Hannah Gusters, who can average about 15 points a game. So I think that's going to be a really good battle with Sedona, kind of seeing who can establish them position down low. But, one thing that TCU has, that I didn't mention earlier, has improved on a lot over the last several weeks is their defense. I think that's one thing as a team that improved with all these injuries is their defense got so much better. They've held their last four opponents to under 60 points. So if you can do that against Oklahoma State, who's averaging almost 70 a game, that's going to give you a really good chance to win this game.
Yeah, I want to talk about goals here too, because as you mentioned, roller coaster of a season, just being able to be in this position as a 9 seed almost seems like a success at this point, having to have all the walk-ons and stuff like that. But what is the goal of this TCU team, and is there any chance that they make the NCAA tournament?
Yeah, no, that's a really interesting question. And from what I can tell, and it's something that Coach Campbell talked about after the Tech game, which was their last home game, their goal, I think, is the NCAA tournament. Their net ranking right now is 44, which is eighth in the Big 12. According to the bracketology for women's tournament, the Big 12 has 7 teams projected in. TCU is not one of them. So I don't know necessarily that they're on the bubble because I didn't see them on the first four out or next four out list. But a lot of things can change between now and Selection Sunday for them. Because the committee does look at a lot of things, including injuries. Because if you think about it, if Sedona and Madison and Jaden are healthy this entire season, this is a very different conference record, and probably you're looking at a pretty safely in type of team. This team's goal is to get to that NCAA tournament still. And I think they're going to need to win a couple games in the Big 12 tournament. If they were to beat Oklahoma State, they would get Oklahoma, who won the regular season for the Big 12. So it would not be an easy task to keep winning, but I think it's something that they can do. And then, of course, how other tournaments go or their bid stealers and things like that would definitely affect their ability to potentially get that large at large bid.
We talk a lot of on this podcast. Like when we talk about Kansas men's basketball, they have this duo that scores a lot of points. And TCU has Sedona Prince and Madison Connor both averaging right around 20 points a game. And as far as I can tell, that's as good as it gets in the conference. How important is that duo? Like when you have a duo like that, it seems to me like you can win any game. Is that a feeling you get from this team that when these two players are on, TCU's capable of hanging around in any game?
I think so. Yeah, those two specifically bring a lot of confidence to this team and to this program. And then with the experience that everyone else has gained, I think there's just a little bit more confidence. Their last game of the season at West Virginia didn't quite go the way they wanted. They turned the ball over a season high 27 times. Now, granted, West Virginia is one of the best, if not the best, in the nation at turning people over, but they still only lost by less than 10 points. So I think with both those girls on the court, you have a chance against almost anybody. And I think what really speaks to that is both of them earned all Big 12 honors. Madison was second team and Sedona Prince was honorable mention. Well, they both missed a lot of time. So for the coaches to vote on this and say, we believe both these players are all Big 12 players, it speaks not just to how much they mean to the team, but how hard it is to prep for them from an opponent's perspective.
Yeah, and you mentioned that duo too and being so elite. None of those girls walked for senior night. And I was just wondering if Sedona, I know she's been in college a ton, but she really hasn't played that many years, if she has that extra eligibility and if she'd use it. And I know Madison Connor still hasn't reached senior yet. So is she coming back, and how does this team build for next year?
From what I understand, and kind of like you said, based on who walked for senior night, the only one that walked from kind of the core group of players who've been playing this season was Jaden Owens. She wasn't going to return next year anyway. So that was in a way expected. As far as I've heard and as far as I know, they're expecting everyone to return. Like you said, Sedona, she might elect to go pro. At this point, there's not been anything said on that. She might have some eligibility left because I know there was a season she completely missed, didn't play a single game because if she had a, I believe it was like elbow injury or something like that. So there's potential for this team that we're watching right now to return next season. Plus, then you add Haley Cavender and some of the other recruits that Campbell's going to bring in, and there's a lot of momentum for this team potentially going into next season.
Yeah, I saw Sedona was named to the All-Star watch list too for college, which is basically to kind of show out for the WNBA, with a lot of the elite players like Caitlin Clark and all these top-notch girls. Do you think if she goes there, then she is definitely not coming back, or is that even a sign at all?
I'm not sure if that's necessarily a sign either way. Because like you said, it's a huge honor just to be on that list with someone like a Caitlin Clark, especially considering Sedona missed 11 games. So I don't know necessarily if she goes, if that means, oh, she's for sure not coming back or she's for sure coming back. I think there's a lot of kind of like when she decided to come to TCU this year, I think there's a lot of conversations that she's going to have with people she trusts, including probably Coach Campbell, about what makes sense for her and her future and what she wants to do.
For sure.
Obviously, there's a lot left to play for this season, but how important is it, with what you said, all these players potentially coming back for next year, how important is building some momentum, in the Big 12 tournament, maybe getting into that NCAA tournament? What does that do for the team next year when you probably add more pieces? Obviously, Cavender coming in. I assume that Campbell will do some work in the portal. But how important is experience for this group, and what will that mean to a potentially really big opportunity next year?
Yeah, I think what they've done up to this point, and like you said, that potential momentum of the postseason is going to be huge. Just with the way this season went, I was so impressed with how Campbell handled everything, and by extension, the staff and how the players, their attitudes. You never really saw them hang their heads. You never really saw them say anything negative or anything like that. And I think that recruits see that. They see that, okay, this coach was thrown into arguably a coach's nightmare, like the worst situation possible, and he handled it in a way that everyone got better. He always was saying something positive about the girls on the team and whoever was playing. So I think that combined with what they're hoping to do in the tournament just builds a lot of momentum for the future. And it gets those recruits who are looking at some of those other schools in the Big 12, like your Oklahomas, your Baylors, and stuff like that, to take a second look at TCU. Because this team is. They're probably at minimum going to the WNIT, which all things considered would still be a really good place for them to be. But I know they're aiming for that NCAA. And yeah, if they can get that or at large bid, which that would mean they've made a run in the tournament, in the Big 12 tournament. And that would just, I think that would give the team a lot of confidence. And I think it would just continue this upward momentum that's been building all season, as weird as that might sound.
Yeah, you mentioned that the committee looks at a lot of things, and when you look at this TCU team, they went undefeated in non-con, coming in with a healthy roster. Obviously, you still don't have Jaden Owens, but getting back that key duo. Do you think they'll look at the losses as being not throwaway, but less value on them than other teams' losses, just because they weren't healthy in there and they're healthy now?
That's a really good question. Without being in there, I'm not sure. You would hope that they would look at the situation and say, okay, they played these however many games it was, seven, eight games. without their top two scorers. And really, there was only one game where they just had no chance. All the rest, they were in it till either right up to the end of the fourth quarter or the last 3 minutes. So you would hope they'd kind of look at that and look at it situationally a little bit. But then it also comes down to how many at-large bids do they have to offer, and how deep into that sort of stuff can they go? So I think that's probably something they'll consider and they'll look at. It's just kind of going to depend on what happens around the country, I think.
Last year in the Big 12 tournament, TCU was the 10 seed. They beat Kansas, the 7 seed. And then they come really, really close to beating Oklahoma, who, as you said, they'll see if they can get past Oklahoma State. And obviously, this year's team is really different, drastically different. But does that run or almost run? Do you think that does anything for this team's confidence, just experience? Or is the team so different that it really doesn't have much of an effect?
I think this team is so different and doesn't have too big an effect. You really only have a hand, you only have two or three girls who played in that run there. Actually, I think really just one who's healthy, who's playing right now. So I don't know that it necessarily has much carryover. What I think is a positive, you have girls on this team who have NCAA tournament experience. So they're not going to walk into the Big 12 tournament and go, "Well, I've never been in a tournament situation. I don't know how to handle the pressure." They know how to do it. It's just with a different group. So I think Oklahoma State is a good first game for them because I think it's a pretty good matchup in a lot of ways. And it kind of gives them that chance to kind of go, "Okay, yeah, we all know how to play in a tournament game. Let's do this together with a new group."
Yeah, you mentioned you think they can beat Oklahoma State round one, or I guess round two, technically, with how the bracket works. But what are realistic expectations for TCU fans to have in this tournament? Obviously, we hope and make the magical run, but how do you see it turning out, and what is your prediction for the Big 12 tournament?
I really think they can beat Oklahoma State, and I think getting to that quarterfinal round against Oklahoma is a very realistic expectation. I think they can sneak into the semis, just because they took Oklahoma deep into the fourth quarter when at the time they didn't have Sedona. I believe Madison was out too. So they know that they can compete with this Oklahoma team. And Oklahoma has been one of the teams in the conference that just didn't really get hit by the injury bug like a lot of other teams did. So I think this team has some confidence that they can beat Oklahoma if they get in that situation. So I think semifinals is not completely out of the question, as far as kind of a realistic expectation. Would I be shocked if they got to the championship and things just kind of started clicking? Absolutely not. Especially when you've got the best 3-point shooting team in the program's history. They absolutely shattered the record for threes in a season. It was 253. They're well past that. And Madison Connor has set the single season record for threes in a season. It was 88. She's now past that number. So the fact that you have a team that can hit some threes, that can get you going in March, especially if that starts to click. So I wouldn't be surprised if they got to a championship, but I think getting to the semifinals would be a huge accomplishment given everything considered. But so I think that for me is the realistic expectation, but I would not be shocked by a deeper run.
You talked about how
Oh,
Oklahoma State is like a good matchup for this team. TCU makes a lot of threes. It seems like Oklahoma State is a really good defensive team against the three. What are you looking for out of that matchup? And how does TCU overcome a good Oklahoma State defense?
I think TCU is going to kind of do what they've wanted to do all season is, come out early shooting three. They're not hesitant to do that. And if you can just make, two of five, well, all of a sudden the defense has to pull out and respect what you're doing. And with Sedona Prince back, they're going to run a lot more of that pick and roll. So I think you're going to see a lot of pick and roll work with Sedona. They're going to shoot the three. And they, Oklahoma State, like you said, they're one of the best 3-point defense, best teams in the conference defending the 3-point line. So that's where I think you rely more on the pick and roll, some drives. They've also done 5-out motion because they had to adjust their offense during all these injuries. So I don't think they'll shy away from shooting the three, but they do have that ability to go to the pick and roll and to run some motion if the shots aren't falling or Oklahoma State's, just making it so they can't get those shots up.
Just kind of more of a fun question with you mentioned the pick and roll and threes as a chance to look at what TCU's plan of offense is. Is Madison Connor and Sedona Prince the best duo in the Big 12?
That's a good question. Of the ones that I was able to kind of see that came through Fort Worth, it's going to be hard to find one that's as powerful, especially from a scoring standpoint. There's not, to my knowledge, another duo that average 20 points. Now both of them are kind of getting back up there right now off of injuries and kind of the flow of things, but they are arguably the best duo in the Big 12,
I like that.
just because of what they can do.
Yeah. I mean, both averaging over 20 points, that's pretty insane, especially, with 40-minute games. Like, I can't imagine that in men's basketball, that's almost impossible.
Yeah, that's pretty crazy considering where TCU's program was even a year ago. And I guess one of my question is, you talked about the job Mark Campbell's done. He was hired, I guess, a little less than a year ago. And things have not gone the way he probably had envisioned with all the injuries and all that. But TCU showed a lot of signs of improvement. The direction is obviously heading in a really great direction, it seems like. If you were able to look at this season with all the stuff that's gone on when this hire was made, this is probably still a really great season for TCU. What does it mean that Campbell's here doing this, even when things aren't going exactly how they're supposed to go?
Yeah, I think it just speaks to who he is and the kind of program he builds. And I mean, he's a winner. He's a recruiter. Like when he was at Oregon, he built a reputation as being arguably the best recruiter in the nation. So if you've got that combined with someone who just genuinely cares about every single person on the roster and creates that culture of we're gonna battle and we're gonna get better, but it's, I care about you. That's going to go a long way in creating a really good, strong program. And like you said, this was not as far as how the second half of the season went at all what he envisioned. I mean, there were several times throughout this stretch where he said, "It is what it is. We got to move forward. No coach wants to go through this, but we're going to figure it out." I never felt like he hung his head. I never felt like he complained. And he learned a lot too, because he had never run a 5-out motion offense before. He spent hours with his staff learning how do we run this? How do we implement this? So I think too that speaks to who he is, that he was willing to learn and adjust and try new things, hold the open tryouts, stuff like that. So I think, yeah, he's just building a pro he was the right person for the job, even though we didn't know what the job would look like.
Yeah.
In when he was hired last March, little did we know what it would look like in January. But I mean, from an X's and O's and recruiting standpoint, I think he's the perfect guy for the job. And then just from what happened and handling all this, I don't think there could have been a better coach in place.
No,
That's awesome.
especially like it's awesome seeing the players have nothing but amazing things to say about him, and this team has been, through the ups and downs. I think one of the most interesting teams in all of college basketball this season, and obviously we've seen that. And yeah, he's done a remarkable job keeping it level-headed. And I'm super excited to not for just the Big 12 tournament, what they got building next year. Already having that talent, but yeah, I'm looking forward to the Oklahoma State game. Is it Friday? I believe at 1:30. And I'll definitely be
Friday,
watching.
yeah, Friday 1:30, Big 12 Now on ESPN Plus.
Yeah.
Like we talked about earlier, it's technically the second round. So Thursday they'll play, believe it's 11-14 and 12-13 play each other and tech in the first round. And that was kind of the other thing that I this team was kind of hoping to get was that first round bye. And like you guys mentioned earlier, for them to get a first round bye, considering everything that had happened, that's a pretty big accomplishment too. And another interesting thing that I found about that I think is kind of interesting about the tournament this year is the week before the men's, so that the women can play in the T-Mobile Center as well.
That's awesome. I like that.
I know the finals of the women, like semis and the finals, will overlap with the men a little bit. So I'll be very curious kind of what people think of being basically a 2 week tournament by the time you play all these games. That's a lot of basketball, is a lot of commitment for the media and all that stuff. So I'll just be very kind of curious what the feedback is on that. But it's a very interesting, kind of cool concept. It's another Brett Yormark strikes again, coming up with something that really capitalizes on the Big 12 being a really solid basketball conference all the way around.
For
Sure.
Yeah, I think I'm gonna be there in Kansas City for a couple of the days, so maybe I'll catch the I didn't know they were gonna overlap, which is pretty cool. So maybe I'll try to catch the final of that tournament. But yeah,
Yeah, I'll
thank you
be
so
there too.
much
I might
for
have to pull up.
yeah, we should go.
Definitely.
We'll be there. Thanks so much, Tori, for coming back on. It's always really cool to hear your side and hear more about the women's team.
Yeah, thank
Yeah,
you
same.
guys so much for having me.
Yeah, I want to harp on that too. It's fitting to send your schedule. We definitely appreciate you telling us all about women's basketball and more than anybody else. So, yeah, it's awesome to hear, and we appreciate you coming on, and I'm excited for it.
No, I appreciate it. No, this has been a fun team to cover. Despite all of the ups and downs, and maybe because of them, you see a different side of a team when they have to go through all these things. And so it's been really cool to learn about this team and about Coach Campbell. And so like I said, I'm really hopeful they can make a little bit of a run in this tournament and maybe sneak their way into the NCAA tournament. I think that would be incredible
That'd be awesome.
for Campbell's first
Yeah.
season here, considering everything.
Yeah,
You have
for
to make
sure.
like a 30 for 30 on that with what this
Right?
team's gone through.
Well, he already got on Sports Center, so
Yeah.
baby steps.
We started it for sure. But yeah, check out all Tori's stuff on Killer Frogs. Like it's all great to read if you're more interested in the women's basketball or just anything. Great stuff on there for sure.
Thanks again, Tori. It was awesome. We've got TCU West Virginia playing in about 30 minutes as we're recording this. So that's something to look forward to. Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Frog Fever. Again, thank you to Tori for coming on. We'll be back soon. We'll be back, I guess, in a couple of days. It's not a full week this
Yeah,
time, but
we had a little bonus episode on Frog Fever, first
little
one.
bonus episode. Yeah,
We'll be back soon.
we love the bonus
Regular
episodes.
program. Yeah, exactly. It's
Yeah,
getting hot in March, and I'm
it
ready for
is.
it.
It is all over. All basketball is getting good here in March. So, yeah. Well, thanks for tuning in again, and we'll see you soon.